This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, a crime of attempted murder. The German chancellor says there is no doubt Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny was poisoned, and she wants Moscow to explain. Russia's leading opposition figure remains in intensive care in a Berlin hospital. The German government says he was poisoned with the Soviet-era nerve agent Novichok. Berlin, London, and Washington now demanding answers from Moscow. Also coming up, the image that shocked the world. 5 years ago, this picture of a Syrian toddler who perished in the Mediterranean Sea while fleeing to Europe sent shockwaves around the globe. We'll find out what happened to Alan Kurdi's family. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. Tonight, German Chancellor Angela Merkel is demanding answers from Moscow after her government confirmed that Russia's leading opposition figure was poisoned with the military nerve agent Novichok. Alexei Navalny has been fighting for his life in a medically induced coma here in Berlin after falling ill in Siberia just last month. Moscow has repeatedly disputed allegations that Navalny was poisoned.
For years, Alexei Navalny has been fighting to rid Russia of what he calls crooks and thieves. The United Russia Party has always won for 20 years, and even if they lost, using fraud, they won anyway. The outspoken opposition figure has organized numerous anti-Kremlin protests, has been arrested several times for civil disobedience, and even attempted to get on the ballot to run for president in 2018. His bid was blocked by the courts. But now, Navalny lies in an induced coma at a Berlin hospital, clinging to life. German Chancellor Angela Merkel calls the suspected poisoning attempted murder. Alexei Navalny is the victim of a crime. He was meant to be silenced, and I condemn this in the sharpest possible manner in the name of the entire German government. Navalny is one of President Vladimir Putin's fiercest critics, drumming up a vocal and growing opposition against Putin's 20-year grip on power. Navalny has suffered physical and verbal attacks in recent years. The attorney and anti-corruption activist fell ill on a flight from the city of Tomsk in Siberia on his way to Moscow last week. It's believed someone poisoned his tea before he boarded a plane. The pilot was forced to make an emergency landing to save his life. The German government says testing carried out by its military proves that the Soviet-era nerve agent Novichok was used without a doubt. We expect the Russian government to explain itself over this incident. These are very serious questions now that only the Russian government can and must answer. Russia is set to hold regional elections next month. Navalny and his allies had been campaigning to get their candidates elected. But for now, his family and friends are holding on to hope that Navalny pulls through.
We have team coverage of today's developments. I'm joined by correspondent Kate Brady here in Berlin and Yuri Reshetto in Moscow. Good evening to you both. Kate, let me start with you. Strong words from the German chancellor. What proof do the Germans have that this was Novichok?
Well, the proof of this poisoning came from a special toxicology test that was carried out by a specific department of the German Bundeswehr, the German military, which focuses on chemical weapons and also the protection of civilians and the military against chemical weapons. And it's this test result, Angela Merkel says, that is proof that Alexei Navalny was indeed the victim of a crime and that the aim was indeed for him to be silenced.
And Yuri, we've got the German chancellor, along with other Western countries now, demanding answers from the Kremlin. What's the Kremlin saying?
Well, Brent, in contrast to the strong reactions abroad in the EU and from NATO, and especially from the German chancellor, we've heard the authorities here in Russia have so far been reluctant to comment on Navalny's poisoning. Dmitry Peskov, spokesperson of the Russian President Vladimir Putin, said that the Kremlin would be unable to give a proper response to Berlin's statement, which is in a way also a statement, I think. However, the Russian foreign ministry said that Berlin's statements are not based on any evidence, reactions and the reactions from the Russian parliament were expected. They called it a provocation dictated by political motives that could be organized by the United States to stop the gas project Nord Stream 2 between Russia and Germany.
Well, Yuri, we know that Novichok can be produced only in Russia, at least that's what we know. If this wasn't the Kremlin behind this, then who else might it credibly be?
Well, Navalny has quite a few enemies. In his corruption investigations, he has attacked many high-ranking officials and politicians in videos that have gotten millions of views on YouTube. Navalny's largest and most popular investigation, for example, was the report about the former Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev. So the list of his opponents and maybe haters is very long, including some regional politicians in Siberia, in Novosibirsk. The city was the last city Navalny has visited before he was poisoned. However, I do think basically that the person who poisoned him didn't expect such a response from Germany, from the West. Nobody here in Russia would have thought that Navalny would be flown to Berlin and be guarded like a state guest of Chancellor Merkel or even more. Whoever poisoned Navalny, that person has obviously totally underestimated his importance in the West.
Yeah, that's a very important point. The medical quickly became political here. Kate, how damaging is this then for German-Russian relations?
Well, it certainly doesn't improve them by any stretch of the imagination. And it was, I think it's interesting that Angela Merkel said in her address to the press this evening that Navalny had indeed been treated for the past couple of weeks now at the Charité Hospital here in Berlin on humanitarian grounds. But indeed, as you say, that humanitarian issue is quickly becoming a diplomatic and political issue. So it'll be interesting to see in the coming days exactly how Germany and its EU partners and also NATO partners move forward as well. There are different options on the table that they could take, but in the meantime, they are waiting for a more concrete response from the Kremlin.
And Kate, the European Union and NATO, they've had to deal with similar cases before involving Novichok, for example, and Russia. Are there any clues from past experiences to help deal with this investigation?
Well, one of the first ports of call would, of course, be to slap some sanctions on specific targeted people in Russia, even on businesses or vessels, for example. But as I say, it really will depend on how Moscow decides to cooperate or not with Berlin and its other EU partners in the coming days. But as Yuri says, so far the response from Moscow has been rather hazy.
All right, DW's Kate Brady here in Berlin, Yuri Reshetto in Moscow. To both of you, thank you. All this week, we're looking back to the summer of 2015 when an unprecedented number of migrants fled war and poverty in their home countries and headed for Europe. Many of them never made it. One image shook the world like no other. Syrian toddler Alan Kurdi's body washed ashore in Turkey. Thousands of others also perished on the same journey. And the perilous sea crossing is still claiming lives.
The tragic exodus of the Kurdi family ended at this beach near the Turkish village of Akyarlar. The mother, father, and their two children were trying to reach the Greek island of Kos in a rubber boat. But the boat capsized. Little Alan, his brother Ghalib, and their mother Rehana drowned. Only Abdullah Kurdi survived.
The boat capsized after people stood up. I held my wife's hand. We had life jackets and tried to keep our children out of the water, but it didn't work. Ghalib died first, then Alan. I'll never forget Ghalib's words when he said to me, "Papa, don't be afraid."
The image of little Alan's dead body made headlines around the world. The refugees' desperation and their fate now symbolized by a tiny corpse. 4 years later, we set out to make contact with his father. Abdullah now lives in Erbil in Iraq's Kurdish region. We were unable to travel to Iraq because of the coronavirus pandemic. Kurdish television has also covered Abdullah Kurdi's fate and has revealed some good news. Abdullah Kurdi has once again become a father. He remarried 3 years ago.
I was sick and
I was very surprised when the new baby was born. I couldn't believe it. It was a shock. I didn't know if I should be happy or sad, or if I should cry. I have no idea what happened to me. When you lose your own child, and I hope it never happens to you, it's a strange feeling if you've already lost a child and then have a new baby. Thank God I am doing better. I'm happy about this new child.
For Abdullah Kordi, the new baby is a great gift. He has named him Alan.
All right, let's have another look now at some of the other stories that are making headlines around the world. The trial has opened in Paris of 14 suspects accused of aiding the 2015 terror attack on the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo. Three assailants murdered 17 people before being shot dead by police. The magazine was targeted because it published cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. A notorious killer in Cambodia's genocidal Khmer Rouge regime has died at the age of 77. Comrade Doik oversaw the deaths of thousands. The Khmer Rouge murdered millions of Cambodians and buried them in mass graves known as the Killing Fields. Doik had been serving a life sentence for crimes against humanity. Emmanuel Macron says he'll support Iraq in its fight against so-called Islamic State. The French president is the first foreign leader to visit Baghdad since a new government took office in May. Anti-government protesters have clashed with police in the Bulgarian capital, Sofia. Opponents accuse the prime minister of having links to oligarchs, and they're calling for him to resign. They've staged the biggest demonstration in nearly 2 months of daily protests. Authorities say several people were detained. Dozens were injured. International soccer returns in Europe this week for the first time this year since the coronavirus wiped out previous fixtures. The Nations League kicks off with Germany hosting Spain in one of the standout games. Fans are still getting used to the relatively new tournament. They will not be allowed to watch in person.
It's 10 long months since Germany last played. There was meant to have been a European Championship in June, but that will now take place next year because of the coronavirus. Germany can instead ease their way back in Stuttgart against Spain in the Nations League, a tournament designed to give countries competitive football when otherwise they would be playing friendlies. It obviously felt quite different to join up with the national team. The last few months were strange for everyone. The tournament is starting its second edition, with Portugal the inaugural winners last year. Changes have already been made to what many fans see as a complicated competition. UEFA's glossy video does its best to explain the rules, but it remains a second-tier tournament offering a back route into the 2022 World Cup. The revamp is good news for Germany. They were supposed to have been relegated after poor Nations League displays followed their 2018 World Cup debacle. Demotions were scrapped, and now Germany are on the up after easily qualifying for the Euros. Fans are not allowed for the Spain game, but general manager Oliver Bierhoff told DW that Germany could still put on a show.
We played also in a different style, so hopefully good results now in the next upcoming month will help us to repair a little bit also the relationship with the fans, which at the moment I think football in general has not an easy stand.
Niklas Süle and Leroy Sané are there, but Bayern Munich's other Germany stars are rested for the game after their Champions League heroics. The coronavirus disruption means the match is taking place before the new Bundesliga season starts. The football world hopes normality can return soon.
All right, here's a reminder of the top story we're following this hour. The German government says it has unequivocal proof that Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny was poisoned with the nerve agent Novichok. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has described the incident as attempted murder and an attempt to silence Navalny. She's insisting that the Kremlin has a case to answer. You're watching DW News. I'm Brent Goff. For all of us here, thanks for the company. DW Business News is up next. Stick around. We'll be right back.